I'm Elisa Mortensen, and this is Undo Redo. Let's take a look at all the things that happen in life that we would like to undo and have a chance to redo. Hello, everyone. I want to talk to you today about feeling pain. And my first attempt with this episode, it brought up a lot of emotions for me. We all have experienced like deep pains, right? Prolonged pain, acute pain, and traumatic pain. And all of them are part of this life and what this life has to offer us. And it's necessary and it has a purpose, right? And the reason I wasn't ready to talk about it yet was because I was still being coached on my relationship with pain. And now that I've kind of processed it through and I feel like I have a little bit of more of an understanding, I can now finish this episode and take off where I started. I want to talk about the many varieties and intensities that pain has to offer us. Because when you combine those with how many responses we could potentially have to them, there are billions of outcomes. I do know that pain can ripple to us through others, and it's when they try to take on some of our pain. Or when we see someone suffering and we try to lessen their intensity of their pain by taking it on ourselves. What I hope to accomplish here in this episode specifically is to pull it apart and break it down into more understandable and useful means. I also hope that this reaches everyone on a very informative level, a level which would open discussion, and that conversation can be instigated, receiving and exchanging information between several people so we can understand one another better without anyone feeling discredited or unseen or offended, because pain affects those who experience it and also those who are helping and supporting the person who's experiencing it. And I assure you, this is a well-intended episode. These are things I have seen in my research about pain and in my own journey through pain. And I hope it lifts you and inspires you. I want it to give you permission to be more present for others as well as yourselves during time of excruciating pain, not trying to fix or solve anything. So what can be done? Humans don't tend to seek out pain on purpose. We do what we can to avoid it, right? There are medications that treat nerve endings in the body or that treat the mind and how it receives the information from the body. And this method is good. It's proven, and it provides an increased calm in your life. It lessens pain, which increases a better sense of well-being, and it relaxes the mind and body. And most of the tension and upset feelings leave because we're not so in the pain. Medications that alter us can be addicting, some of them, and for this reason, you can get to a point where you have a net negative result in your life if you're depending on them to a harmful degree. But I want to talk about the less spoken of methods that are more cognitive ways to lessen pain, which this is the one that I have the most experience with. I'm not a big pill taker, and so I want you to just first think of a child. They're hurting and they're distressed. Right? And you're calming them and you're soothing them and your words are helping and you're holding them. There's contact. It does help. Think about when they're crying about a hard fall or a smashed finger. So you tell them that a Band-Aid will help make them feel better. Whether there's blood involved or not, we've all done it. You go get one for them and you apply it to whatever area hurts, right? And almost instantly they calm down. And you know it's not possible for the actual bandage to give relief, but research has shown that when you physically hold someone's hand through something like getting a shot, they feel better. And it's been proven to not hurt as much when you change the way you're thinking of it. It's the same concept, right? The actual pain didn't go away from the smashed finger because a Band-Aid was put on top of it, but the thought about that it will be better and that it will be fine and it's coming to an end helped the child feel better. Okay. Some people call it the placebo effect. But when you have thoughts of being supported in it, carried through, at the very least, you're not feeling alone in it. Belief that it can be better or that it's going to come to an end increases our tolerance for it. And somehow to be taken care of by, to be seen by someone can minimize our pain because we change our thoughts about it. It doesn't actually lessen the pain. We are thinking these thoughts like, oh, we're not alone now. I can relax now. Someone's here to take care of me now. Okay. And some of us are so afraid of pain that we unknowingly manifest more of it, and it increases the intensity that we experience in our lives. There's times we try harder to cover it up, maybe numb it. We can spend all our time looking for the causes of it, finding the evidences of it, and worrying obsessively over all the possible bad outcomes. Okay, it's harmful, it's dangerous. Warning, right? Pain, we don't want it. And we think that all this is necessary in order to avoid it. But what is happening is we are creating constant unrest by directing all of our focus to the pain daily, which is putting us in discomfort all the time, even when we don't need to be. It's kind of like suffering ahead of time and suffering in between our actual suffering. It doesn't make things better. And so the key thing to remember here is that pain worsens when we aren't willing to go through what is happening. When we have loss of hope and loss of support from inside of ourselves. This kind of resistance that we are choosing to have with it magnifies the effects of pain. And this may not be very clear, so I will attempt to explain further using some examples and some stories. But the thoughts that resist and make sure the pain persists are something along the lines, why me? You know, not again. When is this going to stop? No one cares how much pain I feel. They don't have to go through it. Why am I being put through this? Is God punishing me? Why do I suffer while everyone else seems to be fine? They will never understand what this feels like. I don't like how much I hurt all the time. Oh no, I am not going to be able to move today. When will this leave? When is this going to be over? Okay, that is a lot of thoughts, but those are some of the thoughts I had to pull from a place where I was at when I was unable to move as much as I wanted to. And I would know because these are my actual thoughts that I had at the time. And they all focused on things outside of myself. Nothing was within my control within those thoughts. They left me, if you heard and felt where they were coming from, they left me abandoned in it. I was abandoning myself to it. I even heard myself identifying with it. And it was becoming who I was and who I am instead of something that I was just going through. Pain seems harmful, it seems dangerous, and it was harmful and dangerous to me. It threatened me. But now I understand that pain has a purpose, and this isn't it. These thoughts never brought me closer to solving for my pain. I have experienced acute pain, chronic pain, intense emotional pain, and I would say that they all have this one thing in common. What I choose to do with it, what I choose to do with the pain and how I respond to it either made me grow in it or shrink away from it. And the one lessened it and the other one magnified it. So the emotional pain of worry that I had as a young mother went unchecked until it became just a constant worry. And I was always worried. That led to stress. And stress led to overwhelm, which then it just kept going unresolved and unprocessed and me not even knowing about it or really aligning myself or having awareness. And it turned into fear. And when I had straight up fear, I just ended up with panic attacks, high anxiety. Okay, so the pain, the physical pain turned my focus, like when I was aching in my lower back, let's say. Physical pain, instead of the emotional pain, turned my focus to the area that was hurting. I became obsessed with coddling to it. Oh no, my back. Oh no, my back. And sometimes I could affect how it was in a good or bad way, depending on my activities. And I tried to learn more about it, right? But some of my pains traveled around my body in kind of waves. And it was kind of ambiguous to me. I didn't know the power of my mind at the time. And the more ambiguous they became, the more afraid I was. So physical pain and emotional pain kind of come together. Like the physical stuff can cause emotional, and the emotional stuff can actually become physical. I desired less and less to be active because it just hurt to move. It hurt to sleep. It hurt to sit. I was always uncomfortable. And as time and years went by, I barely made it through my physically exhausting job each day. And I had a major loss in mobility, flexibility, and muscle strength because I wasn't working my body in very intentional ways to get through. And all my thoughts about my life were also perpetuating this. Here's some of them. I was trying to picture being back in that space. One of them was the quality of my life is deteriorating. You know, I'm 40 years old. I was 40 years old at the time. The quality of my life is deteriorating. That's what I believed. That's what I thought. I'm standing by watching this happen, which just isn't the good kind of observance I'm telling you about. It was like me watching my life deteriorate, right? There's nothing I can do about this. One of them, one of the most profound ones was, I guess I'm meant to suffer from now on. Well, it's been years now and it's not going away. So this is just my lot in life. Can you hear how I am identifying with it? Like it became who I was, when actually it's just something I'm experiencing. It's something I'm going through. It's like a journey to learning. I was upset all the time about my pain when I was thinking these thoughts. I was thinking how it's interrupting my life. It's hurting me. It's harming me constantly. And I was just blaming the pain, but not realizing that my thinking and my being upset wasn't allowing me to be present with the pain. That was me pushing against it. That was me avoiding it and pushing it away. And then I would just eat more because I was trying to numb it. Like maybe I don't feel pain when I'm all doped up on chocolate, right? Where's the chocolate? Because I can't even stand my life right now. And the reason I'm talking about accepting the pain in both physical and emotional ways doesn't mean you have to enjoy it or like it. It's only about no longer seeing it as harmful or dangerous for us to experience. Because once we're not afraid of it anymore, our consciousness can get some sort of authority over it. When we decide to breathe deep through the pain while we're allowing it to be there, science has found that decreases it. It decreases anxiety and it decreases intense pain. And women know this if you've ever done a natural birth. You just expect the pain. You experience it as you're enjoying delivery. We're able to have more comfort while we're in pain when we decidedly support ourselves in it and through it. When we're not eager to push it away and disassociate with it and be upset at it, we cut all the negative effects from it in half. In half, you guys. We're left with having pain, but not all the other emotional drama surrounding it. Having pain is awful enough on its own. Why add to it? You're going to be at pain at home. You're going to be in pain at the park with the kids. You're going to be in pain, you know, wherever you go. So what do you choose to do now? Because it's coming along and you just say, okay, pain, let's go. And you have resources to make it easier on yourself when you are there for yourself. I also want to just kind of add in right here that I was listening to a training, someone who had cancer and was being coached on how upset they were. They wake up in the morning, they remember they had cancer, and they are just miserable and hurting. And the coach was able to show them their mind and the thoughts that were creating them being upset. The cancer was causing, you know, effects in their body. But the upsetness that was happening and the anger and the frustration was being added on top of all that. So as they go on talking, this person was able to see that it wasn't useful for them at all to be doing that to themselves. And it is possible to increase the quality of life that they had by doing the work to get in a place that they no longer needed to be upset with it, or to be validated in it, or to will it to keep happening the same way, but that it became more important to that person to be open to changing it or seeing it different each day, allowing it to change, to come and go, to be a little more or a little less, and to just have it be there with them throughout their day. Be excited about living. Instead of avoiding discomfort so much, they were chasing the quality that they still had. And using what they did have, they were able to make it a splendid existence, even with the cancer present. Then the conversation turned to the spouse of this person, all right? And this spouse was resenting them, resenting the pain. They were upset that the person was upset because they were in pain. And they were being put in charge of the other person's welfare, like serving them when it may not have been as necessary just to help them feel better, which was fine. But no matter how much they did, it didn't help change anything because that person was decidedly upset no matter what was happening. So how can one person be put in charge of another person's pain when it's not within their control? The spouse of the cancer patient couldn't choose for them to just be in it and be present with it and be okay. Because the person who is sick had thoughts that they felt better when they were being catered to. So the spouse had to always cater to them. That was the belief they had. Well, I feel better when she caters to me. Which made the spouse kind of a slave to doing all the things to help them feel better, and it wasn't working. It was like short-lived, and this cycle's quite common. We think others can do things that will make us feel better, but when it's our thoughts that are creating us feeling awful, it can't be overcome by the other person. I hope this is making sense, because I'm saying the other person to get out of the he, she, because I forget if it was the which spouse it was. But being there for each other is important. Being there for yourself is a higher way of being. It puts oil in your own lamp. It lights the way for you and for them. It gives instead of takes. It's expecting more from yourself and for you to rise to an occasion than it is for someone else to come to you and do it for you. And it's longer lasting. The one in pain can just know that the spouse no longer has to keep trying to fix it endlessly. And they can both be present with what is and be calm, accepting whatever comes, but living in a more calm place because you aren't wishing it to be anything different. It's a neutral place to be, just being present with what is. And there doesn't have to be a rush to get out of your pain. This is just the process of life. It comes with pain. Life and happiness, life and pain, we get it all. So I want you to get on a call with me if this really resonated with you, all right? Because the ability to uncover your relationship with pain and see how you could come to know what works best for you to get through your pain. And I also have the ability to uncover if you're experiencing pain through someone else near you. And we can talk about it and kind of pull it apart. It's a circumstance when it's physical pain, and it's a feeling when it's an emotional pain. And oftentimes it's so intense, they trigger one another. So let's just pull it apart together. Okay, so get on a call with me. And if you thought of anyone while listening, please send them to me. Or if you thought of someone while listening to this, please send this episode to them. We want heaven to trust us. We will listen and we will help reach all who need it. So let's always be filling our lamps with oil and helping one another to do the same. I created a 6-week course that takes you through the journey of tapping into a higher way of thinking where clarity is found. Seeing truth this way helps us determine between the burdens we wish to carry and those we'd like to release. And here's the biggest reason why I created this. When you are no longer living according to what culture, tradition, parents, or other people expect of you, you become free from all their rules. All the rules they had for you are gone, and you are able to make decisions that support what you would like to be and how you would like to feel. You get to see what loving others looks like in a purified way, honoring their decisions and your own decisions. No more people-pleasing. This is a much more accurate way of being who you really are. There's nothing better than allowing yourself the God-given right to be just who you want to be. And that is also why I hold a day and a half retreat locally in the spring and in the fall, is to provide you a still space and ask the right questions, inviting and receiving guidance from a higher intelligence. These questions open up your individual voice, the truth within your own divine nature, and what is really behind your wants and desires. The truth about love, your aspirations that lead you to a connected and fulfilled life along with the divine. Because happiness was never meant to be about achievement. It was only meant to be about alignment. So let's get you aligned. All right, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks, friends.